Dean here in a moment, as we continue our thoughts in Proverbs chapter 31. We read beginning of verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Today is Mother's Day. And so, friend, as we begin our study together this morning, as we are now jumping off from Proverbs chapter 31, let me say, Happy Mother's Day. We are all here because of a mother. We are able to use this day set aside to honor our mothers in this country. In 1914, on May the 9th, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, as Anna Jarvis at the turn of the century had suggested it, and the movement gained steam until Woodrow Wilson finally put it into practice in 1914. Now, since that time, the popularity and importance of Mother's Day has grown and grown and grown. 82 million Americans will call their mothers today. 141 million Mother's Day cards will be given. Now, friends, although Mother's Day is in no way a religious holiday to be observed, the Bible does tell us to honor our fathers and our mothers. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, God made it a part of the Ten Commandments. In verse 12, Moses recorded, God gave him these commandments, says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, friend, in today's lesson, as we order our thoughts and as we study together, let us give special recognition to our mothers as we consider together some thoughts on motherhood. First, beginning this morning, let's consider some thoughts from a few outside sources, if you will, from the Bible. And then we'll draw some conclusions from these. First of all, let me share with you a poem. Floyd Wood wrote, Mothers Are Blowers of noses and washers of ears, smoothers of bump spots and wipers of tears, bathers of babies and umpires of spats, finders of boots and mittens and hats, helpers with lessons and makers of beds, shakers of dustcloths and combers of heads, button-sew owners and winders of clocks, menders of dresses and darners of socks, tellers of stories and readers of books, judges and juries of conduct and looks, doctors of heartaches and hearers of prayers, generals directing all family affairs, tenders of home fires and builders of men. Oh, for the gift of an adequate pen. Bob and Meredy Dockery composed together what is called a mother's work from A to Z. A mother's work is never done, it's true. A mother has to wear so many different hats. At one time or another, she has to perform an amazing range of tasks. And so a mother is. A is for artist, as she arranges and beautifies the home. B is for beautician, as she clips and cuts and curls a little beauty's hair. See as for chauffeur as she delivers one child to his piano lesson, picks up another from soccer practice, and hurries to meet her husband's train. D is for dietitian as she plans endless menus. E is for engineer as she keeps the wheels of the home well oiled and running efficiently. F is for fashion designer as she alters hand-me-downs and creates originals. G is for general practitioner as she treats a variety of ills from straightened knees to broken hearts. H is for housekeeper as she straightens and cleans and wipes up spills. Information, I is for information bureau as she answers thousands of youthful questions ranging from do caterpillars yawn to where's my socks? J is for judge as she is called upon to settle the daily disputes that erupt wherever two or more children congregate. K is for keeper at home, as she seeks to serve in the God-given role, as we see in Titus 2 and verse 5. L is for laundry worker, as she battles the dreaded ring around the collar. M is for musician, as she sings lullabies to coax droopy eyes to sleep. N is for nurse, as she maintains a vigil bedside frequent sick beds. O is for organizer as she arranges birthday parties, shopping expenditures, ball games, and work projects. P is for pharmacist as she dispenses Band-Aids and children's aspirins and iodine. Q is for queen of the home as she serves as the center around which the home revolves. R is for recreational director as she plans activities for school and scouts and church groups and homes. S is for seamstress as she patches men's darns and sews the inevitable holes, rips, and tears. T is for teacher as she instructs little minds in the first lessons of life. U is for upholsterer as she recovers old furniture to try to make it last a little longer. V is for vocational counselor as she offers advice about possible future occupations. W is for waitress as she graciously serves over 1,000 meals a year. X is for x-ray technician as she sees right through excuses, evasions, and cover-ups to get to the truth underneath. Y is for yard worker as she plants, prunes, and trims to keep things outside looking neat. And Z is for zookeeper as she feeds the pets the children solemnly promised they would take care of. Friends, being a mom is not the easiest job in the world. It's not something to be taken lightly either. There's a website, I believe it's called salaries.com. Salary.com. Every year, they do, at the end of the year, they do a chart, and they put this out, and I looked last night, and it calculates what a mother is worth. And all the jobs that she does. Now listen to some of these things that she does, and I'll give you the total of her worth. A stay-at-home mom. Okay? One that her full-time job is to stay at home, keep the home, take care of the children. She is a facilities manager during the week, at 10.9 hours at $31.63 an hour. She is a CEO for 3.2 hours of that week at $53.81. An hour. She is a laundry operator for 6.5 hours at $10.10 an hour. She is a computer operator for 8.6 hours at $16.44 an hour. She is a housekeeper for 14.6 hours at $10.19. A cook for 14.5 at $14.04. She is a daycare teacher for 14.3 at $12.84. She is a van driver or chauffeur at $13.65. An hour, 7.8 hours. A janitor for 7.8 hours at 10.14. And a psychologist for 8.3 hours at $38.94. Friends, you put all that together during the week. She puts in a total of 96.5 hours on average per week. Base salary at 40 hours comes out to $38,126. But overtime at 56.5 hours comes out to $80,779 per year. Total salary, a mother is worth $118,905.
in the year 2014. A mother that has to work part-time, on average she puts in 59.4 hours as a mom per week. 7.3 hours at 3163 as a facilities manager and all these others. Her total comes out to 40,583 as the base. Overtime 19.4, $29,524. Total of 70,107 on top of what she has to do outside the home. Friends, a mother is worth a whole lot more than she gets paid. And she does it graciously with no thought for herself. Now what does the Bible have to say about motherhood? And what can we take from what God says to us concerning these things? Well friends, as we have mothers present here this morning, I hope that you appreciate the great privileges of being a mother, and all those of us that are not mothers, I hope that we all appreciate the great privileges that they enjoy. Ashley tells me pretty much on a daily basis what it feels like to be carrying a child inside. It's something that I will never feel. That's a privilege that she has that I will never be able to have that feeling. But friends, when you look at the Bible and the privileges that it states and what it takes for a mother to thrive in that role, friends, it's not an easy job. The law of Moses, as we read Exodus 20 and verse 12 a few moments ago, I want you to turn with me to Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Now, the Ten Commandments tell us to honor our father and mother. Now look at and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Look at Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Notice the word here used. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Friends, God has placed a tremendous amount of responsibility upon the parents, but also upon the children. As he says in Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and mother, and Leviticus 19 and verse 3, revere your father and mother. Our parents are owed a great amount of respect for what they have done for us. As far as, for one, giving us life in this day and age when that's not guaranteed. But for choosing to raise us, many of us, as I speak this morning, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We owe them a great deal for that. Now notice what Moses writes in both Exodus and Leviticus. This is something that had to be taught. The Ten Commandments were something that had to be taught generation after generation after generation. Leviticus, they were to be taught. The people were to be taught these things. And, you know, we might think that it would come natural to honor our fathers and our mothers, to revere them. But friends, we understand this is something that has to be learned. And guess who they learn it from? From dear old mama. Mom teaches them those things. The Proverbs writer teaches us in Proverbs 1 and verse 8 that her instructions, the mother's instructions, are not to be forsaken. Proverbs writer writes there in Proverbs 1 verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, but listen to the last part of the verse, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Friends, our mothers are not to be despised, they are not to be mocked, they are not to be scorned. I want to share with you some passages from the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 20 to begin. Verse 20 states, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Turn over a couple of chapters to Proverbs 17 and look at verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Friends, we are to conduct ourselves in such a way as to bring honor to our parents. In Proverbs 19 and verse 26, we read, "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." Chapter 23 and verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Look after her. Nurture her in the way she nurtured you. Chapter 30 and verse 17. Now this one's kind of graphic. The Proverbs writer says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." Friends, God does not speak favorably upon the child that will disrespect and dishonor his parents, most especially his mother. Motherhood, friends, is not merely a biological function. But according to the Word of God, it is a sacred calling. Even within the pages of the Bible, we learn that no one can love a child like a mother does. Now, I love my son. But who do you suppose he goes running to when he falls down and maybe hurts his knee? It's not me. It's his mom. No one can soothe that child. No one can soothe him like she does. God compares, and I find it interesting, that God compares his love for his children with that of a mother. And in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, he looks at this, he's talking to the children of Israel, and he says, "Can a mother who is nursing her child forget it?" I mean, the child is latched on, is nursing. Is a mother going to forget that child's there? Absolutely not. And God says, even though that may be the case, they may forget. Maybe they fall asleep or something. I don't know. But God says, "I will never forget you." Comparing his love for his children to that of a mother. It's interesting, though, that he compares his discipline to that of fathers. Friends, mothers are able to communicate self-worth to their children in a way that no one else can. But however valuable motherhood is, God intended motherhood to be experienced only in marriage. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 talks there about the marriage bed and it being undefiled only in marriage. Each time you read of the children within a family unit, it's talked there as a family unit, husband and wife and the children. God meant only for that to be within that marriage bond. Now friends, with that in mind, let me share with you a short report of the census taken in 2010. And really, it's really sad, to be honest with you. According to this article, married couples with families now make up less than half. Married couples with families, are you listening, make up less than half of the U.S. households, marking the first time the group has dropped below 50% since census data on families was first collected in 1940. The report provides a first look at household and family data from the 2010 census and indicates a stark rise in non-traditional homes in America. Now, what we're talking about non-traditional, or in comparison, traditional is one man, one woman, and the children living together as a married couple, not unmarried. That's a traditional family. But the non-traditional home is on the rise. The U.S. has gained 11 million households since 2000, but the traditional husband-wife family households now comprise only 48% of those households. The bulk is of family homes with a single head of house or non-related households or people living alone. Between 2000 and 2010, 10 years, The percentage of growth for all types of households except for husband-wife was in the double digits. Husband-wife households with children actually declined by 5% over that same period of time, the only group to decline. Females are increasingly taking a major role in the household. Unmarried females who indicated they were ahead of the households made up 13.1% of all households. According to the report, unmarried partner households consisted in this report of both straight and same-sex couples, homosexual couples. Unmarried couples living together increased by 40.2% between 2000 and 2010. And there's still no comparison to the rise in the number of same-sex couples or homosexual couples living together, which grew 80.4% over that 10-year period. Now, the data does not indicate if they're just more comfortable reporting that or if there's actually that big of an increase over that 10 years. Friends, what we're seeing is alarming. And we have to be concerned with this and what is going on in our country. But friends, in order to change that tide, we need to get back to God's Word. We need to get back to teaching and to talking to others concerning what God has to say concerning the family and motherhood. Friends, mothers are to love their children. And friends, even though, as we stated a few moments ago, even though no one can love a child like his mother does, some mothers need to be taught how to go about that. Paul says to mothers in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 concerning these things, he simply says that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so the elder women sometimes are to take the younger women aside and show them how they are to go about loving their children. Carolyn Beauchamp wrote a short poem. She says, concerning an adored mother, she mended a doll and the wash waited. The dust lay thick while a fish hook was baited. When engines attacked, her dinner burned up. She provided a bed for a straying pup. A two-year-old helped with the cookie dough. The ironing dried out while she romped in the snow. Her neighbors whispered to one another, but the children laughed and adored their mother. She is to be active within the home. Mothers are to teach, and in so doing, they are to teach their children about the Lord. Friends, the first perceptions of right and wrong are taught by moms. This is a serious responsibility, one that is not to be delegated to a babysitter. Turn with me for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And listen, you might label verses 14 and 15 in this particular chapter as a tribute to mothers, really, concerning what he wrote to Timothy. And beginning of verse 14, in speaking to this young minister, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Now, in other places, before we look at verse 15, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. But notice who laid the foundation. Before Paul maybe taught him the gospel or brought him up into maturity in the gospel, notice who laid this foundation, taught him the law of Moses, and taught him all of these things. Look at verse 15. "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, who did that? His mom was instrumental in that. His mother laid that foundation for him to become a faithful member of, or a productive member of society and a faithful Christian. Terrible responsibility that God has placed upon the responsibility of our mothers. It's one that is to be taken seriously, and friends, and one that's not to be shrugged off on others. So mothers that are here this morning, thank you for what you do and for being the godly woman that God has called upon you to be. But friends, great blessings are in store for godly mothers. As today is Mother's Day, we honor all our mothers, but don't let it be for this day only. The greatest honor that we can give our mothers is to live our lives by the principles taught right here in God's Word. My friend, there's no doubt in my mind that there are some mothers here today, this morning, praying that their children would obey the gospel. No doubt in my mind that there may be mothers here this morning that are praying that their children will recommit themselves to the Lord. Friend, we may have. You may be a mother here this morning that you need to obey the gospel and recommit yourself this morning. Friend, whether a mother or not, male or female, the invitation is for everyone. Now, I want you to consider these things with me as we put away our Bibles and we take out our song books, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as badly as our mothers want us to go to heaven, God wants it more. As badly as our mothers want us to do what is right, God wants it more. And He was willing to pay the ultimate price in giving His Son upon the cross for you. What will you do with that gift this morning? Will you accept it as God has given it? Believing that Jesus Christ is His Son, is the Son of the living God, that He came to this earth, bled and died upon the cross for the remission of your sins. Repenting, friend, of sin. Turning your back upon the world. Giving your life wholly unto God. Confessing Christ before those here this morning. And then as you go about your day-to-day life, confessing Him before the world. Friend, are you willing to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Friend, it may be that you're here this morning, having obeyed the gospel, but you find yourself having strayed away. Would you come home? Would you be His again? Our mothers no doubt want the best for us, friends. Let me leave you with one other thing in the invitation. The sermon will be yours. I have an acronym for you. And it spells mother. To be a great mother, M, marry the right man. O, obey the gospel. T, train your children to love God. H, honor your parents. E, enjoy Christianity. And R, request wisdom from God. Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, the wisdom of God says, come and be His. Come now while we stand and while we sing.